You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic. My guest today is Madeline Bost, an independent equine nutritionist out of Ontario, Canada, and she'll be telling us about how to formulate a balanced diet for your horse. Thank you for joining me today, Madeline.
Thank you for having me on the podcast today. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So can you tell me a little bit about what it is that you do as an equine nutritionist for anyone who maybe hasn't worked with one before?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm an equine nutritionist and I work one-on-one with horse owners to help them formulate a balanced diet for their horse. So that includes things like hay testing or evaluating pasture quality, and then using that information as well as their horse's condition and workload to choose optimal products to support their horse's well-being.
Awesome. And what is your process when you evaluate a horse's diet? And does the owner or farm manager play an important role in this process?
Yeah, for sure. It's always a team approach with everything. Most of the time, our horses have a variety of professionals on their team. So we want to make sure that everyone's being included so we get the whole picture. My process for evaluating a horse's diet really always starts with the information collection. So this includes taking a forage sample, evaluating pasture quality, measuring the horse's heart girth and body length, which is used to estimate weight, body condition scoring, as well as weighing all of the feeds and or supplements that the horse is currently eating. So having all of this accurate information to start with is really critical when designing an optimal program. And for the consultation, the role of the horse owner or manager would be that they know what hay and feed the horse is consuming, as well as, of course, the amounts. I also do work with clients remotely. So if we are doing a remote consultation, the horse owner and barn manager role is greater because they are the ones that will be doing all of the information collection. So their role does become very important. But I do send out detailed instructions on the information collection so my clients never feel like they are confused on how to complete it accurately. And then, of course, once the information is collected, the next step would be discussing any nutritional concerns and goals with the horse owner. Each and every horse is so incredibly unique. And so you always want to work with the horse owner as they know their horse best. So the owner is really a key part in the development of an optimal nutrition plan.
Yeah, that's a really good point. One of the old barn managers where my horse used to live would always tell me, you're the expert on your particular horse, even though you're working with an expert on whatever field. So I think that's nice that you include the owners in the process, because while they're definitely not the expert on nutrition, usually they do know more about your horse. So I like that point.
Yeah, for sure. It's super important. And even I also like to say that you have to feel good about what you feed your horse. And so bringing the owner into the conversation is just so important.
And especially for those owners that maybe have their horses at home, you know, they're the ones that are going to be carrying out this plan. So it's got to be doable for them as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you tell us what's the number one thing that barn managers and horse owners should consider when evaluating their horse's diet?
This is a really good question, and it is difficult to choose a number one thing when you are creating an optimal nutrition plan, because it is truly a whole picture approach. But if I had to choose one top factor, it would be for horse owners or barn managers to understand the body condition score system and regularly perform it on the horse that they own or manage. Body condition scoring is when you palpate the six different body regions to evaluate the amount of stored fat on that animal. So in North America, we primarily use the Heinicke system, which is a 9-point scale. So you score the neck, the withers, the shoulders, the ribs, back, and tail head. You give it a score out of 1 to 9. So 1 is emaciated and very under conditioned, and then 9 would be extremely obese. So if a horse owner or the barn manager can effectively evaluate a horse's body condition, that's a fantastic start in ensuring that their nutrition program will remain adequate in regards to energy, as well as getting into the habit of regularly condition scoring can ensure that any unwanted changes in that animal's body condition are being addressed immediately. One little tip I like to give my clients is I like to encourage them that whenever your farrier comes out, make that day updated measurements day, because it's something that occurs on a regular schedule. So it can make it a little bit easier to remember to do that for your horse.
I like that idea a lot, because that's definitely something I struggle with. You know, I look at my horses every single day, pretty much. And from day to day, it's obviously very hard to tell if something has changed. But when you step back and look at them less frequently, it ends up working out a lot better for you. So I'll have to implement that trick with my horses. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it makes it just, yeah, a bit easier to remember being on that regular schedule for sure.
Well, and I also think you mentioned evaluating them regularly, and obviously that could affect your feed program. And I think that a lot of barn managers or horse owners might look at their horse on the day-to-day and say, oh, well, today I think he looks skinny. I'm going to add an extra half scoop of food to his diet. But I know from personal experience that doesn't always work out how you want it to. So I think kind of maybe looking at them less critically on the day-to-day would actually be beneficial in that respect.
Yeah, and I find it really great when clients implement this, because then we have a really great kind of like database on how their horse's condition changes over time. And you can really evaluate maybe even the seasonal changes and how you're seeing your horse's weight fluctuate.
Yeah, that's a good point. Seasonal changes in weight are so tough to deal with.
Yeah, for sure.
So we often hear the phrase forage-based diet, but what does that actually mean? And how can managers and horse owners ensure that the horses are being fed a forage-based diet?
Yeah, this is an interesting question, because the term forage-based, or you'll even sometimes hear forage-first diet, is really gaining popularity. So what it means when a diet is forage-based is that the horse would be getting most of their calories or energy that they require from a forage source. So whether that's hay or pasture, even things like hay cubes, we often include in these diets as well. So historically, horses did evolve as grazers, but as humans began to put horses into more intense work, we turned to grain-rich concentrates because the animal had an increased energy demand. So these products were implemented to meet that. Large amounts of these feeds is typically not ideal, as they have been linked to issues such as gastric ulcers or obesity, and even behavioral issues as well. So based on that, if we kind of look back, we know that forage should be the foundation of every horse's diet, and feeding an adequate amount of quality forage is really critical for both the health as well as the welfare of that horse. Most horses are already maintained on a forage-based diet, so most companion or light riding horses are really easily maintained on hay or pasture with a ration balancer included in that as well. So horse owners and managers can ensure that their horses are on a forage-based diet simply by allowing them adequate forage access. Due to the horse evolving as a grazer, we want to always be avoiding any prolonged fasting periods. So therefore, allowing the horse to have forage to chew throughout the day is going to be an important first step. With forage-based diets, the next critical consideration that you'd be looking at is ensuring that you're feeding the correct forage. So a forage-based diet can work for almost all horses if the correct forage is being fed in adequate amounts. Every horse is, of course, individual in their nutritional requirements. So therefore, you're going to want to be sourcing a forage that complements their nutritional requirements. That, I understand, might sound a little bit confusing, so we'll kind of get into a bit about the nutritional content of forage. And it varies greatly depending on a whole bunch of factors. So if we specifically discuss hay, You can have hay that is very mature grass and that has low digestible energy and protein, with a significant proportion of indigestible fiber. So this hay would not be adequate for meeting the nutritional requirements of a horse in heavy work. But on the other hand, if you have a hay that is immature and really energy rich, that type of forage might be great for a working horse, but it is not something that you would want to feed your easy keeper pony. Kind of one last caveat that I like to make sure I mention in regard to forage-based diet is that forage, whether it's hay or pasture, will not be meeting all of your horse's vitamin and mineral requirements. So even if you have a pony that is not in any work, we do need to be considering that and adding a ration balancer at minimum. So as the industry moves towards forage-based diets and they gain popularity, it's just important to remember that forage-only diets do need a little bit extra. We need to be making sure we're still supplementing those vitamins and minerals.
So I'm going to step away from forage for just a second, but I do want to come back to it. You mentioned workload a few times. Can you tell me how you define light, moderate, and heavy workload? That's definitely something that I personally struggle to figure out with my own horses. I have two minis who I know are pasture pets. They have absolutely no workload other than moving around in the pasture. And then I have a thoroughbred gelding who's in training as a jumper and, you know, works 6 days a week, pretty solid workload. But it can be hard to evaluate exactly where he is on the scale because he definitely works harder than some, but he's not an Olympic level show jumper working super intensely every single day.
Yeah, so this is such a great question because it is something a lot of horse owners struggle with. So when I talk to clients about their horse's workload, I'm always asking them how many hours per week their horse is working and then what that looks like. So the NRC is the National Research Council's Nutrient Requirements of Horses, which was last published in 2007. So in that text, they do have guidelines. So light work, you would be looking at about 1 to 3 hours of work per week. Moderate, you'd be moving up to about 3 to 5. Heavy work would be 4 to 5, and intense work would be above that. So any type of speed work or such as racing, or 6 to 12 hours of slower work per week. It does also break down like percents of like how much canter or trot that they're doing. But for the most part, you can look at the hours per week within that text.
That's a really good way of putting it. I like the hours per week because it can be hard to say, well, you know, he goes on a trail ride once a week, but we flat pretty hard twice a week and he jumps once a week. So I like just breaking it down by hours, and then you can kind of take an overall look at how difficult it is within those hours. That's a much nicer objective way of looking at things.
Yeah, like the hours per week does work pretty well. But of course, if you're looking at heavy work being 4 to 5 hours per week, and you're really just doing 2 trail rides where they're walking the whole time, well, we wouldn't necessarily classify that as heavy work, even if it is meeting that hour requirement. So the hours are a good start for the guideline, but we also do have to keep in mind the intensity of the workload as well.
For sure. Yeah. So I'm going to step back to forage now. And let's talk about hay testing. So what information would a hay test provide, and why is it beneficial to test your hay?
Hay testing is one of my favorite topics to discuss. And with what we just talked about, with the forage-based diets gaining popularity, there is more attention on the forage in our horse's diet, which is fantastic. So if you think about what your horse consumes every day, so if you look at a 24-hour period and what your horse is eating during that time, the majority of it is likely hay or pasture. So therefore, if it's hay, which it would depend also on geographical area, it only makes sense that we need to know what the nutritional content of it is. Oftentimes, a horse owner will know exactly what percent crude protein the concentrate they are feeding is, which is great. But you certainly wouldn't purchase a feed without it having a guaranteed analysis. So I often question why we're so readily feeding hay that we don't know the nutritional content on. So when you send your hay for a hay analysis, it's going to provide you with valuable nutritional information. So you'll be provided with values such as the crude protein content, digestible energy, the sugar content, the minerals, etc. It also is going to provide you various fiber values, such as acid detergent or neutral detergent fiber and lignin. So those parameters that are specifically looking at different fiber fractions are going to give you insight into the digestibility of that fiber for the horse. So as an equine nutritionist, I understand that it's not frequently the case that you can easily change your hay. And that's probably the biggest question I get is, well, if I'm stuck with my hay and I can't change it, what's the point in testing it? Because I can't change it even if it comes back that it's poor quality. However, knowing the nutritional content is of immense importance because we can then very accurately supplement feeds to complement the hay analysis.
So you mentioned pasture a little bit when we were talking about forage. Can you tell me a little bit about what role pasture plays in a horse's diet?
So the role that pasture will play in a diet is that it is a great forage source for most horses. So housing horses on pasture is really great for, they're typically great for their health and welfare. And when the pasture is maintained well and the horses are transitioned onto it slowly, it really can be a great nutrition source for your horse. So pasture is, of course, a forage source, so it's fiber, and it is also rich in many vitamins as well. So overall, nutritionally, fresh pasture can be excellent for most horses. However, when we're feeding pasture, the health of the pasture is going to be a key consideration. So in Ontario, where I primarily work, most farms don't have enough land to maintain all of their horses on healthy pasture during the warmer months. So therefore, the management of that pasture becomes critical. And when we're using pasture as a nutrition source for our horses, we do want to make sure it is being well managed, because when you have overgrazed pasture, it will negatively impact the nutritional content of it for your horse. These additional considerations would be things like fertilizer, seeding, mowing, weed control, making sure you're resting the pasture, and having a acceptable stocking density will all be important considerations to manage healthy pasture that's going to continue to be a good nutrition source for your horses.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how you said transition them slowly, because with my minis, at least, I always think about how I need to be aware of their grass intake. They live on pretty much a dry lot, so that's not an issue anymore. But even with my thoroughbred, who can use the extra calories typically, it's interesting to think about transitioning him slowly still, because during the winter here in Pennsylvania, we don't really have pasture at all. And then during the spring and summer, it grows and the horses are able to graze quite a bit. So it's something to consider, making sure that we transition those horses slowly, as well as the ones who are prone to metabolic issues or being overweight, because those skinnier or healthy weight horses probably still benefit from a slow transition. I mean, we transition everything else in their diet slowly, so why not transition them to pasture slowly as well?
Yeah, exactly. And with that's such a good point, talking about how we transition everything else slowly, because it's so true. All horse owners are typically very, very concerned about switching any concentrates very slowly. However, we tend to just switch up forage sources and not really think twice about it. But even switching hay types really does need to be done over even like 7 to 10 days. And pasture, we typically do a bit of a longer transition. And that is just because the horse's hindgut environment specifically really does take time to adapt to dietary changes. So we don't want to make abrupt changes that then shock that system.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So, do you have any tips and tricks for horse owners and barn managers of those in a boarding barn situation? I think it's, as I'm a boarder with my thoroughbred, and I think it can be difficult to have some sense of, I don't want to say control, but participate, I guess, in your horse's diet formulation when you're an owner in a boarding situation. Or if you're a manager and you try to get horses on as few products as possible, so you're not buying separate feeds for every single horse, I can imagine that would be really difficult. So how do you help those people out?
Yeah, this is a really, really good point, because I can put together a great program for you, but of course it has to be practical. And no one wants 30 different products in their feed room. It's not fun for anyone to deal with that, and it gets quite costly too. So balanced nutrition is, of course, important, but it does need to be achieved in a practical way. So my tip for horse owners or managers of horses in a boarding facility would be, of course, to start with your hay analysis, and then for sure have one very high quality ration balancer for the barn. So with that base, you can then add a few additional products that can serve various purposes. So for example, you could have alfalfa cubes for maybe horses that need some additional protein and energy, or opt for a fat source such as an oil for bumping caloric intake. It's all too common that I see barns that have shelves and shelves of supplements, but don't have the basics really locked in first. So starting with your ration balancer and salt, and then adding products as needed, like your fat source or your hay cubes, can be a really great start. With Balanced Bay, I often will do consultations for multiple horses at a barn, or even entire herds of horses. And it is surprisingly straightforward to condense the number of products when you do focus on the foundational nutrition before adding a ton of dietary supplements. So in those situations, you can really just have a few basic staples that you're relying on for the majority of the horses.
Yeah, I like that. A couple of years ago, I worked as a manager at a show barn that had about 15 to 20 horses, depending on the time of year. And he had everybody on beet pulp and alfalfa pellets as the base to their feed, and then kind of just filled in from there for horses that, you know, obviously everyone got a ration balancer, and then he filled in any other specific needs from there. And I felt like that saved a lot of money, and as a person preparing the feed, a lot of time as well. And I liked that method a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic approach and a way to do it, because then also you're just playing around with varying amounts depending on the horse's needs.
So we are coming to the end of our time today, but I have to know, is there a common misconception that you hear all the time about equine nutrition?
Oh, that's a great question. A common misconception I hear would probably be about protein content in the diet. There tends to be a bit of a misconception that the higher the percentage of crude protein on a product, the more ideal it is. However, that is not true. Horses require essential amino acids. So when we're focusing on protein, we should really be shifting our focus from the crude protein over to the quality of the protein source as well, and considering both of those parameters. So additionally, when we greatly oversupply protein, there are negative consequences such as kidney strain or development issues in young horses. It's also really, really costly to oversupply protein, and you can even run into issues with dehydration. So instead of just focusing on the crude protein percent and thinking that the higher the protein, the better that's going to be for your horse, focus on meeting their crude protein needs, but with a higher quality protein source. So something that's going to supply more essential amino acids.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think as humans, maybe this is just me, but I often see people talking about trying to get enough protein in their own diet. And I feel like sometimes we project that onto our horses as well. And I like your point about how it's really not cost effective, nor is it healthy for them. So that's definitely something for everyone to look out for.
Yeah. Anytime you're over supplementing, it does just kind of add to the cost of that ration. And horses are expensive to begin with. So when we can reduce some costs and improve the health of our horse, it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, definitely. So that's all the time we have for today, unfortunately, but it's been awesome talking with you today, Madeline, and I really appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, I've had a great time chatting all about nutrition, and thank you again for inviting me on.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.